And hey, Mom. Excited about your message, and we got the lights turning up right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You ever get to one of those Super Bowl games? It's on my list of life, but I watch a lot of Super Bowl game on the TV, and it's your team, and it's tie score, and your quarterback has the ball, and out of the corner of your eye, you see this one guy on your team run, 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 run. He's going long. He's going long. He is right next to whatever that line is they're supposed to cross, whatever it is. Okay? The end zone. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I love football here. Okay. Are you excited when you see that guy run? Yeah. Because to me, we have a chance to win. And when he throws long, he goes long and catches it, and you win, you are dancing. You are dancing. We are celebrating our team won. Okay, so I said all that to say, we are going long today. Okay? So write down these scriptures. We're going to spend a lot of time in Matthew chapter 13. Okay? So write that. We're going to spend a lot of time there. But we are going long, and I will promise you, if you go long and you catch this, you are going to have answers that you have just frustrated before. You've been frustrated by things. And I believe I have a word of God. Well, but, excuse me. I have the word of God, and I know the word of God will produce. But I'm telling you, you're going to go long. You're going to catch it, and you'll come up later going, I see. Okay, y'all, at Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the sea. A great multitude were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold. Okay, what's that first word? Behold. Okay, you know what that means? Look, I want to show you something. Jesus is saying, hey, look, I want to show you something. So is it possible that we don't always see? Is it possible? Okay, so he's saying, look, I want to show you something. Okay, let's pick up. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 5, some fell by stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And 7, and some fell by the thorns, among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and they choked them. Okay, so Jesus is saying, hey, look, I want to show you something. Hey, look, I want to show you something. And he said, hey, you know, a sower, that's a guy throwing seed, a sower went out to sea, and he said, some fell by the wayside, some fell by the stony ground, some fell by the thorns. Now that word some means some of the same kind. Write that down. Some of the same kind. That is so important. Some of the same kind. So this guy didn't have his little bag of seeds and just was randomly throw one seed out of this bag and another of that bag. He wasn't just randomly throwing different kinds of seed. He was throwing some what? Of the same kind, okay? So here he is reaching his bag, casting out seed, and it says, some fell by the wayside, some fell by the stony ground, some fell among thorns, okay? So we have three places where that seed fell, okay? And yet, none of those places produced. Nada, nothing, zilch, nothing, right? None of those places produce. Now, if you and I were to stop right there and we just said, oh, you know, he threw seed in those three places and none of those seeds produced nothing. They didn't grow. You might blame the seed. I would. I do not have a green thumb. I'd be going, that seed's expired, okay? You might just stop and say, there's something the matter with the seed. Now, if you don't evaluate the ground that where that seed was going, you will blame the seed, right? We love blaming people, things, right? Stupid TV. You know, we do that, okay? So, but Jesus didn't stop there. He goes on. Listen to what he says in verse 8. But others, okay, that really is the same. So others of the what? Same kind of seed. But others of the same fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has what? Ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, right there at that moment, right there where it yielded 100, 30, 60, right there, you know that that seed was good seed, right? Because it produced. Did you see that? It produced. Okay, so it's the same seed that fell, but this time, what did it do? It produced, okay? It produced, all right? So guess what I figured out? It is not the seed's fault. Because that last ground, it produced. It's not the seed's fault. I don't know what it is, but it's not the seed's fault. Everybody say it's not the seed's fault, okay? Because there's nothing wrong with the seed, all right? How do I know? Because there, it produced 100, 60, 30, okay? So Jesus says, hey, some seed fell here, some seed fell here, some fell here, but some fell on good ground, okay? And what happened? It produced, alrighty? So what was in that seed came out, right? Okay, you're looking at me like a dog to a new bone. What was in that seed came out. So here's your main idea. Write this down. Whatever's inside, it's in it, and its purpose is to come out. All right, not to get a little ahead of me, but listen to this. Whatever's in you, when you're born again, its purpose is to sit on the seat and never do anything with it. No, whatever's in you, its purpose is to come out. Okay, the word of God that's in you, its purpose is to what? Sit on a bookshelf? No, its purpose is to come out, right? Okay, just side trail. Here we go. All right, so here we have Jesus. He's painting a picture and he's talking about the sower sows the words. Let's go over to verse 10. Turn page. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? In other words, what's it all about? You're talking about this and that, and you're giving us an agriculture lesson, you're teaching us to be farmers, and they're like scratching their head going, what's it all about? Okay, so do they see what's going on, really? No, they're missing it. Right? They're not seeing. That's why they said, so the disciples asked Jesus, hey, why do you speak in parables? What's it all going about? So verse 11, okay, and he answered them, He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Okay. Then he goes and explains, verse 12, for whoever has, to him will be given more, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away, all right, from him. All righty. Now, first time I read that, I'm like, gosh, Jesus, you're kind of mean. Like, I have some, so I'm going to get more. They have a little. You're going to take it away. Gosh, Jesus, you're a little mean. I mean, that's just kind of not nice, okay? So, but listen, you don't understand the parable, and either did the disciples. So they asked, okay? Now, this is Jesus' first parable. It's also found in Mark chapter 4 and Luke 8. Mark chapter 4, write that down. These are different places you can kind of cross-read them and throw them all together, okay? So in Mark 4, 13, the disciples said the same thing. Hey, we don't understand what you're talking about. Why are you talking in parables? Well, what's going on? And Jesus says to them, if you don't understand this, then you're not going to understand all the other ones, okay? If you don't understand this, okay? So right there, guys, come on. I'm going to stretch you till you start screaming today. Okay? Just go, ow. Okay, but I'm going to stretch you. Listen, when he says that right there, there is something there that's a key. There's something there that's going on that's a key, all right? What does a key do? How many have a key to the front door of your house? What does it do? Okay? And the other side of it is what? It'll lock it, and the same key will unlock it. Your key will lock the door. Your key will also unlock the door. So you know when Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth is the key, all right? And if you turn it, it'll set you free, right? Okay, y'all with me? So he's got, Jesus is saying, there is some key going on here, all right? And you got to get it. So interesting. Think about this. If I have a key, I have a presence of a key, and I stick it in, it'll lock. What happens if I don't have a key? Can't get in. Locked up. All right. So keys. Here we go. Jesus is revealing a key here. Ready? Turn over. Let's read again. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him will be given more, and he who has an abundance, and he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. All right. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they what? Do not see. And hearing they what? Do not hear, nor do they understand. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes are closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn. Put your seatbelts on. Listen to the next part. So that I should heal them. Everybody see that? What's he talking about here? Heal them. All right. So that I shall hear them. All right. So that I shall hear them. So here he goes. Excuse me. Okay. And jump down to verse 16 again. Verse 16. This is the key. I just lost my place. Hang in there a second. Okay. all right. Back up. So he says, they see, but they don't see. Everybody lose their place. You know, some days at the office, I'll start something and I'll walk in a circle going, gosh, I totally forgot what I was going to do. Okay. So I'm back on page. So listen to this. He's saying they see, but they don't see. They hear, that they don't hear. This is my best example. I've used it before. Those posters that came out like in the 90s or 80s where they had all these zigzaggy lines, purple and black. All right. And you look at that poster and you don't see anything. But if you look, oh, I see something. All right. Okay, if you look long enough, and that's one of those, you had to look slowly. At first, you didn't see anything. Then you'd see a horse or a dolphin. And the crazy thing is, I'd be looking at it. I'd be frustrated. And somebody walked by and go, oh, horse. I'm like, what? Okay, anybody, you remember those posters? Okay, do they still have them? And hopefully, they're done with them. Okay, so it's interesting. We both saw, right? I saw a poster, okay, but only one person saw. Alrighty. So Jesus is saying, you all saw, but you didn't see. You all heard, but you didn't hear. Okay. And then he goes to make one of those statements that's a key in verse 16 again. He says, blessed are your eyes for they what? See, and your ears for they what? Hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to what? See what you see and did not see it and hear it, what you hear and did not hear it. Okay, so what's he talking about? He's talking about pretty much from John the Baptist backwards, Old Testament, generations and generations of prophets and righteous men. They saw a little, we call it types and shadows. They saw a little, but they didn't see. Right? Okay, think about this. Even in the garden, we got Adam and Eve, and they saw it, that says they saw the one that was coming. Even the devil, the Bible says that he saw the one that was coming that was going to trample him, right? David, you read the book of Psalms, all throughout Psalms. He saw, but he didn't see, but he saw a part of the story. And Jesus is saying right here, you all are blessed because you see. Who do they see? He was there, okay? He was there. They had a revelation, okay? So he's saying, that's a revelation, okay? They saw. Now, these other guys, even John the Baptist, because he kind of was like, are you the one that's coming? Okay. They could see, but not really see. They had little bits of the pieces, okay? But they knew, They knew. One was coming. And right here, Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Praise God, all right? So he's talking about a revelation of, ta-da, Jesus, okay? And he's saying here, I can build on that revelation, and you can have more, and you can have more, but what's the first revelation? Jesus, all right? A few chapters up, Matthew, could just we talked about last week, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus goes to his disciples and he says, hey, who do people say I am? And someone says, oh, some of them think you're what? Elijah, Jeremiah, some of the prophets. And then Jesus tosses out the winger question. He says, yeah, but who do you say I am? And that's Peter. Ooh, I got it. And Peter goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember that? So Peter's like, he nails it. You are the Christ, of the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father. Okay, question. Was Peter blessed because he got that revelation? Yeah. Okay. But. I always want to get to throw the but. Yeah, but he didn't get the root of that. Okay. He just got a little bit of it. Okay. So the thing that Peter got is he had a moment with the Father and it was revealed. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation, all because a moment with the Father. So have some moments, guys, right? All right. So let me build on that. So what do we need more than anything else? We need a revelation of who Jesus is. Some of you, go outfield, go cat, cat, cat. You need a revelation. People go, oh, Pastor D, I need a revelation of healing. No. You need a revelation of who Jesus is. Oh, Pastor D, I need a revelation of prosperity. I'm so broke, I'm tired of it. No. What? You need a revelation of Jesus, the Word. Whew, good. Okay, so everybody say, I need a revelation of Jesus. Amen. And now, sometimes people will say, well, and I've seen this. Well, they get a revelation, but they never get a revelation of Jesus, and it just kind of pitters. It's like those sparklers we were doing. They just die out, right? Okay, so if you try to get a revelation without first having Jesus revelation, not so good, right? How many of you know that for a fact? I've done a few of that. Okay, so what he's talking about here is that when you have a revelation of Jesus, then you'll have more, and more will be given, and more will be given. Everybody say, I want a revelation of Jesus. Amen. Everybody see that? Y'all see that? Okay. All right. Now, verse 18. This is Jesus. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, and he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Wait a minute. I thought we just heard that parable. You're talking about seed and a farmer, you know, okay? And he's going, and they realize, I don't understand that. So they go to Jesus, and they ask him, hey, what is this thing all about? All right, what's it all about? Verse 19, when anybody hears, this is Jesus giving the explanation so they can hear, right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom or the word of God or the word of Jesus and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, okay? All righty. Now, if you were to look in Mark chapter 14, because you remember this is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word, all righty? So the seed is what? The word of God. This is the guy, and he's, okay, no. The seed is the word of God, okay? And the word of God fell here. Hear good ground, right? Felt on good ground, okay? And remember, what's ever in it, its purpose is to come out. Whatever in the seed, whatever's in the word, its purpose is to come out. Its purpose is to produce, all right? So, and if it's in and you have the right soil, it will produce, okay? I plant an apple seed. Guess what's going to grow? An apple, okay? What's in that apple seed is really a big old apple tree. It's going to produce, all right? So, how about this? Somebody receives Jesus into their life. Anybody receive Jesus into their life? Yeah, everybody received Jesus. All right, okay. There's a miracle that took place on the inside. Yeah. You didn't see it on me for a while, okay? But there is a miracle that took place. It says, I'm a new creature. Behold, all things pass away. All things are new, okay? All righty. Now, but what had had to happen is I had to have heard the word. And there is power in the word, and it produced in my life. Amen. There's power that you heard. Okay. And I have to tell you, probably about 10 different times people will tell me and it was wing, wing, wing. I didn't get it. And one day someone gave me the word of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I grabbed that and it produced. And by the way, it's still producing. Amen. Okay. So how about this? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What's in the word of God? Power for what? Salvation. So the seed has power, and it can be power for salvation, power for healing. All righty. Okay. So the seed, everybody say, is the word of God. It was planted in how many different places? You guys can be in children's ministry. We always do this. We give you a little coachy things, and if you're really good, you get a lollipop at the end, okay? Okay, so they planted in 4 different times, and it only produced in 1 place, okay? Now, right there, that should tell you something. Right there, it should tell you something. Like, I don't understand. What's in that word, okay? So what's in the word we just talked has the ability to produce. What's in the seed has, like an apple seed, has the ability to produce an apple tree. What's in the word has the ability to produce. Amen? What's in the word has the ability to produce, all right? Now, I can't, but listen, only 1 ground produced. That would bug me. Okay, that would really bug me, all right? I'd be like, what's going on? So to think about this. Can you imagine that God is satisfied with that statistic? Can you imagine that God is just satisfied 25% of his children? He's just satisfied with 25% of his children. They're blessed. They're having a great old time. Okay, and they're experiencing the result of the seed of the word of God in their life. Just 25% of them. Okay? And I can't imagine he's content with, that means 3 out of 4 are sick, broke, depressed, meh, meh, meh. All right? So think about that. 3 out of 4 of his kids are doing that. How many? I have 4 kids. Anybody else have 4 kids? Okay. That meant to me, you have too many kids. Okay. Over there. Okay. He's looking at Sherry. He's like, bleh. All right. So I have 3 of my kids are miserable. They got the, but 1, oh, you know, that's really cool. I'm okay with just 1. No, I wouldn't be content with that. They know that, okay? All righty? No, I'm not content with that, all right? So, listen, I can't imagine that God was satisfied with only 25% of his kids understanding the word that's going to produce. So, are you satisfied? Okay. Write that down. Good question. Okay. Alrighty. So Jesus comes along and he's going to show us and tell us about that. So, back to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anybody hears the word and doesn't, of the kingdom of God and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay, what is the wayside? The wayside is a road, probably a road by the edge of a field, the field where he's chucking out seed, and it's probably been trampled by people, animals, and went back and forth, and therefore the ground is what? Hard. The ground, it is trampled down, it's hard. It's not soft, okay? And he says, this is the man who hears the word. So did he hear? He heard the word, okay? And it also said he received it. What? Come on. He heard it. Jesus said this, and he received it, okay? So it's like, this guy's in church. Oh, yeah, I went to church. I heard something. Big deal, okay? Okay? And he heard it, but he's like, yeah, but I didn't understand. But y'all understand everything Pastor D says, because I get it down, okay? But this is this guy. I didn't understand, okay? Why? It didn't penetrate. It's like somebody throwing seed in your face. Psh, 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 psh. It's just bouncing on the ground. That's what's going on there. And it didn't penetrate. And this is the thing. He didn't understand it. Everybody say, he didn't understand it. He did not understand it, okay? So I made up a definition so you can track with me on what understand or understanding is. Write this down. This is my definition for my message today. Understanding, three things, is to grasp the meaning. Let's take a breath. The nature and the value, okay? To grasp the meaning of something or someone. To grasp the nature of someone or something, to grasp the value of someone or something. Okay, so we got three different things. Okay, the first one is to grasp the meaning. Grasp the meaning. All right, here we go. That's when you go, oh, I understand that. Oh, yeah, I understand how cards work. And I go, I don't. I really don't. I just barely get the key in the door, okay? I am so glad that you grasp and the meaning or the understanding of how cars work, because that's where I take my car, alrighty? So, but I don't get it. So that's part of the understanding. That's part of what it means. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4. All right. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. Give attention to no understanding. All right, jump down to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? If a scripture tells you to get something, guess what? You must need something, right? That's a good one to tell your kids, okay? All right? That means you must need something, all right? So if it says to get it, that means you're supposed to need it, all right? Now, so that's part of the first one. The second part we have to understand, if it's something I have to get, if it's something I need, well, I sure as hope it's available. Okay, I sure hope it's available. You're telling me I need to get wisdom. I need wisdom. Well, then make sure it's available, okay? Here's a good example. I go to the refrigerator, and we're out of milk. I call my husband. I say, hey, honey, we're all out of milk. On your way home, please get some milk. So he knows, one, that my refrigerator isn't full, right? I told him I need. So I have a need. All right, and he's going to get in his car, and he's going to drive, and he's going to get to a place because he knows it's available for some money, but it's available. Okay, so understanding, we need it, and it is available. We need it, and it's available. Everybody said, I need it? Okay, and it's available. God has made his word, his understanding, available to you. He's made it. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. This is an amazing prayer that Paul prayed. And really, pray it yourself. I'm going to jump in at verse 7. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Woohoo! And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. So right there, it tells me it's available. That's a prayer that tells me that it is available, that I can understand stuff. I can understand the word. Now, I hope you know that it's not okay to sit in a message and go, I don't understand that, and walk out and do nothing. All right? By the way, I did a lot of that. okay? But it's not okay, all righty? So how about if you don't understand something, it says to go get it. So how about you dig into the Word? You dig out things in the Word of God, okay? And listen, don't be dissatisfied because you don't understand something. Don't be content. Oh, I don't understand anything. Big deal. Big deal. No, listen. And then we got this amazing Holy Spirit. You can ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit. And I still do it. I sit down and I'll read something. I go, man, I know there's stuff in there. I just don't understand it. Holy Spirit, I need you to open the eyes of my understanding that I might perceive and see and know, because I know there's riches in there. Your Word is rich. Okay. And I may not get it right away, but you know, a couple days later, a couple weeks later, I might even read it again. And it's like, I got it. I see it. Okay. So guys, these guys didn't understand the disciples didn't understand the parable. All right. So what do? They go and ask Jesus. Jesus, can you explain it? He says, okay, I'll explain it. All righty. So here we go. Our definition again of understanding is to grasp the meaning of something. Here's our second one. To grasp the nature of something or someone. So we have the meaning. Now we're going to talk about nature. Okay. If you know the nature of something, if you know its origin, if you know its makeup and how it's worked, man, it is so much easier to just understand things. Okay. That's why you should read the manual first. Okay. All righty. Okay. Understanding the nature is so important. Now, to understand God, to understand who He is, to understand Jesus, who He is, okay, you have to know His character, all right? And I will tell you, be nice, Pastor D, every ridiculous thing that I hear out of somebody's mouth, their misconceptions of who God is, I hear people say the most outlandish things about who my God is, okay? Misconceptions, all righty? They got all these misconceptions about His character. Right. And then what they do is they don't know who God is. Right. They don't know His character. They don't know His nature. And then they take what they think and they build on it. OK. And they build on it and they build on it. They build this theory. And you know what we call that? Tradition. Hey, we're a church. We don't have traditions. We're not a traditional church. Just hang on, buddy. OK. Definition of tradition. Tradition is something that has been handed down from one person to another person to another person. Remember what Jesus said? He was like smacking those Pharisees in the face, and He says, your tradition has made the word of no effect. Your traditions have made the word of God zero, zilch, powerless, nothing. All right? Traditions, okay? So why? So listen, I see it happen in our circle, the body of Christ, this tradition thing, all right? Let me give you an example, all right? Y'all, we live in the greatest time ever. We have access, YouTube, podcasts. I still do CDs, okay? We have just access to amazing teachers. Shoot, the Bible on CD, the Bible on your app, okay? We just have all of this, okay? All righty? So what happens is, though, somebody hears a message, okay, that somebody else preached, which is good. Hey, I listen to a lot, but follow me here. Somebody, you hear a message that somebody else preached, so-and-so preached this, and I'm going to go do that. Be nice. You have just made a tradition. But the other guy, okay, has heard that message and has studied that. Got it. The Holy Spirit revealed it. He got a revelation and He gets the producing part. It produces in His life. All right. All righty. So tradition versus a revelation, big different things. Okay. And I have done 5 easy steps to do this and I'm so dang frustrated. Nothing's working. And what I'm doing is I'm doing somebody's tradition. Okay. And I haven't gotten, which is good, just the first part, but I haven't gotten it revealed by maybe spending time with Jesus instead of listening to somebody else, okay? I didn't get a revelation. Anybody have a few of those things happen in their life, okay? Alrighty, so how about this? How about I make a statement like this? Hey, I've got something for you. Now, does it make any difference who's got something for you? Somebody comes, you know, okay, like, do you have a different expectation based on who said that? Okay, I got a hook on the worm for you. Here we go. Your crazy old aunt, every year for as long as you can remember, gives you the most bizarre, weird gifts every year. She dug out of the corner of the scary part of her basement, like a monkey that's got the eye, like, what? So she calls you up and says, come on over. I have a gift for you. And you're like, not taking that call. All right. But how about you have this phenomenal, imaginative, cool grandpa, grandma that, you know, they call you up and say, hey, I have something for you. I'm going to be there right now. I'm coming. All right. Okay. So why did I say that? You have to understand the nature of the giver. Did you eat the fish? Okay. You have to understand where the gift comes from. Okay, that's that nature. When you understand God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, woo, just changes. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. He's talking to believers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Okay? You have to understand the gift and the giver. Okay? And that's a good God from above who only gives you good gifts and perfect gifts. All right. So got to understand this stuff. All righty. So I think I'm kind of beating this. Let's do our next one. Here we go. Number three. So we have grasp the meaning, the nature, and the value. All righty. The value of it. So value of the word, the gift. Okay. So I think this is where we really mess up. This is where we mess up. I've messed up here. All right. The value. All righty. Okay. So write this down. What's keeping the word of God from producing in your life? That's homework. Okay. I'm going to get back on track. Years ago, daughter number three, Joy, was diagnosed with bladder cancer. Just hell on earth. Okay. And, we'd been through surgery, radiation, chemo, and they wanted to do another round of chemo. And Jack's like, we're not doing any more. And we were on 83 South. I can tell you where we pulled over. It's amazing we didn't get in an accident. And I am bawling, okay? And I said to Jack, I know I am at zero physically. I hadn't had sleep, emotionally, and spiritually. And he said, do you trust that I have heard the word from God? And I did. I knew my husband. So I said, okay, so that was it. Doctors weren't too pleased. Kids, how old is she now? 30, something like that, all right? All right, she's something like that, okay? But I remember realizing I had forgotten, because of circumstances, who my God was, okay? The nature of my God. And I was not valuing my time with him, okay? And I said to Jack, I promise you, buddy, I am not going to stay here. Give me some time. So it took some time, all righty? So why did I tell you all that, all righty? Listen, the word of God has this inherent power inside of it to produce. Amen? The word of God has this power to produce, okay? It has the power to heal your body. It has the power to heal your marriage. It has that power to bring your kids home. It has the power to do this, 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 and this. The word of God has that inside of you, okay? It has the power to do it and to deliver you. So what's keeping it from producing in your life? Oh, this is one of those happy meals, right? What's keeping it? And these are your, so again, I'm going long. Go out in that. What was that line you just told me I was supposed to stand back there? The goal line. Okay. Grab this. Okay. And this will be time alone with the Lord. All righty. And some of you, like me, have been frustrated. Some of you, listen, like me, you have heard a message. You've heard a message. You got bookshelves. How many got bookshelves? Bookshelves with CDs, tapes, DVDs. Some of you still have tapes, dear Jesus. Get rid of them, all right? You got all this, okay? And you have heard and what? And you have heard and what? And you have heard and you've heard and you've heard. And there's been this expectation built up to have it produced, but it's not producing. So I have to get quiet. I have things in my life, just like you, where I have to get quiet and go, why is the word that has this power and to produce? All right. So this is a good one. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, how about this? Maybe we don't value the word. Maybe it's value. All right. Value. Okay. We don't grasp the value of Jesus, his nature, his word. You ought to write that down, okay? Because, guys, the word of God is precious. It's more precious than rubies, right? And it's just valuable, right? Everybody say the word of God is valuable, all righty? So, how about this? You hear a word, somebody on healing, and someone says, you know, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. 1 Peter 2:24. This one, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made curse for me. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon me. All right. I know those scriptures. I've heard those scriptures. I've heard that. You know, I heard them because I could quote them. All right. I heard it. But listen, maybe you've heard, but that has not produced in your life. I got some of this stuff. I'm not shooting targets at anybody else that I didn't have to, that I have to spend time. All right. Okay. And it's not working in your life. Okay. So question, what keeps it from producing in your life? Good question. Here you go. All right. So listen, it's when you take the word and you've heard it. And now you just smile at me. You take the word, you've heard it, and you put it on the same level as maybe your symptom. Okay? You got the word that's powerful, that'll do it, that'll deliver you, but you take what's going on in your life and you put it on the same level and you go, throw it out. I'm still sick. Okay? I'm still sick, all righty? All righty? Now, right there, you have not valued and honored the word. All right? Everybody smile. Pam smiled at me. I love it. Just, okay, good, good. Okay. And that's the difference between I heard it and I know it. I heard it and I know it. And it'll take time. And listen, I'm taking time on this for 20 years. And some days we're doing good. And other days I'm working on this. Okay? I'm not shooting anybody down, but I want you to stop being frustrated on why you don't see the word producing in your life. Maybe we don't value it, okay? So, praise the Lord. Now, you got to get to the place where the word, you are so persuaded that the word is true and it will produce. The word, the seed, if it gets planted, it'll produce. Everybody say it'll produce, okay? And listen, you got to get to where you say, I don't care if I don't feel it. I don't care if I don't see it. The word is more real. Say, I'm a realist. The word is real, okay? I'm a realist. The word is real, okay? Because I am going to value and esteem the word above the stuff. I was talking to Iris. Iris, look at me. Iris, she's so sweet. First time I heard her, I'm like, oh, she's my people. She comes from the New York, Bronx area. I was like, oh, gosh, love this. Okay, so she was telling me a story about, change the names to protect the innocent because we're being recorded. A particular person who actually got offended with Iris and didn't talk to her for, 12 years? And Iris, first you do, search my heart, O Lord, if I've done anything wrong, show me if it's my fault. And she's nothing. So then you start praying, right? Tear down the devil that's blinded this person's eyes. And she said, I've been praying for that person for 12 years. And the other day, that person just, walked into your house? Okay. You got to get to the point where the word you're going to believe. And maybe you're not going to see it instantly. That's okay. Be tenacious. Be Iris. Just keep going at it, all right? Amen. Praise God. Now, Jesus is talking about the word, and we're talking about it's valuable, but how come it's ineffective, okay? It says, Satan comes immediately to snatch it away. Satan comes immediately to snatch the word that's sown in your heart. He comes immediately, okay? So what happens to things that are valuable that are left unprotected? They get snatched away. How many of you have a safe? What do you keep inside your safe? guns over there, okay? Valuables, okay? Why? So they don't get stolen, right? If not, give me your safe. I'll keep something there. I don't know what. All right, okay. So Jesus is talking about people who don't value the word of God, and it gets snatched. Okay? All righty. So they hear the message. It got delivered to them. It was good preaching, and it was wonderful. And whew, but somebody else hears the message. It got preached to them, and it got produced. It produced. So there's something going on. So I have to go. Why is it not producing in my life? Well, and we talked about the seed. Same seed. Everybody's got the same seed. Okay. And this guy had it produced, but I didn't have it produced. Okay. Now I'm going to say this again. Things that are valuable that are unprotected get snatched. Okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Mark chapter 4, 15. I'm going someplace. I'm doing good today. Hallelujah. Okay? And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. They hear, and immediately Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown in their heart. Okay? Take away in the Greek, which I'm not even going to pronounce the word, means to take away from another. Okay? What is his? It means to take away what was committed to him. It means to take away something that's already yours. Take away something that already is yours. So Jesus said, what? The thief comes, in John 10, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Okay, so listen to this. He could not steal unless you have something. Okay, how about this? Why can't you steal a Ferrari out of my garage? Because I don't have one. Come and check me out, okay? All righty? You can't because I don't have it, all right? But listen, Jesus called him a thief, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal something. He comes to steal something that belongs to you, something that Jesus gave. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly and life full to, you know, just overflowing. He comes to steal from you something that you already have, right? Y'all know those scriptures? Okay. How about this? The greater one lives within me. He tries to steal that out of you. Just tries to steal that, okay? Okay. Unless you have a revelation of Jesus, and you understand his character, his nature, and you value. Oh, praise God. Good. All right. Okay. So Jesus says the thief comes to steal and take away the word that was sown. How is it stolen when we don't value it? I am going to give you three examples of people that didn't value the word. Okay, just jot this down. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is a guy named Eli. Anybody hear the story of Eli? Eli was a priest, and he had sons that were a priest. They followed in his footsteps, okay? Only thing, these sons, they were doing really wicked things. Go read that chapter. You're like, oh, bad, okay? So they're doing these really bad things, and Eli knew about it, and they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop. 1 Samuel 2. Let me read verse 29. Why do you kick against, this is God talking to him, why do you kick against my sacrifice and my offerings, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? And this is it. And honor your sons more than me. Woo! Okay? Is it okay to honor people more than God? Is it okay to honor your family more than God? Well, read this. It tells you, okay? Okay, it's not. And he said, you have honored your sons. You have honored / value them more than me. Okay? Verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the household of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall lightly be esteemed. Okay, that word despise, you know, we usually think, oh man, I hate you, I loathe you. But God uses this in a context where he says, then you will be lightly esteemed. All right. So what does that mean? So we're talking about why the word gets stolen. Okay. So when he says, how about this? How about when we never do it? Somebody else does this. You're sitting in a service and you're like, I already heard that before. I already heard them preach that. Are you kidding me? So or so the word. I know that. All right. We don't say that, right? Okay. All righty. Okay. When that other person says that, the word is immediately stolen because you didn't value the word. Immediately stolen, okay? Okay, and here's the difference. You heard, but you didn't know it, all righty? So you might have heard it 1,000 times. And then the 1,001 time, you're like, whoa, I see it. I see it, okay? So that's what happens. The word is stolen, all right? Now, let me give you a New Testament example. Mark chapter 10. This is the rich young ruler. I'm just going to go fast. Wow, you're going fasty. That coffee was so wonderful. All right. So here's our second guy that didn't value the word. The rich young ruler, okay? And he comes up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Okay? And Jesus sits there talking to him about the commandments, all righty? And he goes, I've done all of those. If you want to go, yeah, right. I read that one day and I was like, sure, buddy. All right? But Jesus, not me, so lovingly says to this man, out of love, really love, he says to him, one thing you lack, go sell all you have and give to the poor. And then what? Come follow me. All righty. So what happened? This guy got sad, probably sad and mad. All right. He got sad because why? He had great wealth. All righty. So in other words, he valued his money more than Jesus, the word, the seed, all righty? He valued, okay. So what happens there, he's got two things going on in his head. Let me think. And he starts weighing them out saying, which one should I do? Which one should I do? And he's like, nah, I need more money. Nah, he didn't value Jesus, the seed, the word, all righty? Okay. And, but later on, there's a whole bunch of people that did, all right? Okay, they did. But listen, so he missed it. He missed it because he couldn't see who Jesus was, and then he couldn't honor, and he couldn't value, all righty? Now, can you imagine? I think about this some days. I'm like, that's Jesus, and I go face to face to Jesus, all right? And he asks me, gives me an invitation to come follow him. Y'all seeing that? Okay. And you step back. Nah. All righty. I'd never do that. Come on, you all say, Pastor D, I'd never do that. Okay, listen, we do that. We do that. We cry, God, use me. God, save my neighbor, God. And God starts talking to you about, hey, I want you to do this for your neighbor or go say that. And you're like, well, you know, I'm a little busy. Okay, I've done that. Okay, all righty, all right. Okay, so then what we're doing, we're putting kingdom business that should be up here, down here for chores and whatever, all righty? So it's improper value. We do not value when God talks to us, the word of God, all righty? So this young man didn't grasp the value. He didn't value it. He valued money. And listen, money's valuable. If you don't like your money, please give to me. I don't have a problem spending it. I got a whole list of damn things to do with it, all right? But listen, you can't compare the value of that stuff to an invitation by Jesus to come and follow. Woo! All righty? So, all right. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. All righty? This is another group of people that didn't value. Ready? Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. And the next Sabbath, he went to church like he always did, and he began teaching in the synagogues. And many who heard him were amazed. They said, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. Okay? He's just the carpenter, the son of Mary, and his brothers. We know his brothers, James, Joseph, Judah, Simon, and his sisters live right here. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. Except for my family, they all love me. I love you. Okay? And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles or mighty works among them, except he placed a hand on a few sick and healed them. Alrighty, so. Okay. Did it say he would not heal them? Okay? It's like Jesus going, I'm the Messiah. Shoot, buddy, I can heal you if I want to. I don't know if I want to. No, okay. That wasn't it. It wasn't that he would not heal them, right? Okay? Because listen, his nature is healing. His nature, I mean, he went around the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was just, he went any place he could to heal, alrighty? So it's not that he would not, it was he could not, and he could not. Why? Because they didn't honor. Ugh, gosh, that's Jesus. He grew up here. Gosh, I know his brothers, his sisters. Are you kidding me? They did not honor Jesus. Okay, now we're talking about honoring the word in our life, alrighty? All right. And listen, so they missed it, totally missed it. They didn't understand his nature. They didn't know who he was. Therefore, he could do not any works. All right. Now, moving on. I can do this. I'm going to give you some New Testament of people who honored, valued, and got results. Honored, valued, and got results. These are the goodies. Okay. Jairus, Mark chapter 5. Jairus, Mark chapter 5. Background. Jesus is in this big, huge crowd. He is just being smushed and swarmed, okay? And the leader of the synagogue pushes in, and he falls on his face, and he says, begs Jesus, Jesus, would you come to my house and heal my daughter? Alrighty? Now, got to know about this guy. This is the guy, and the guys that he runs with, they're on the I Hate Jesus Club. These are not the Jesus fan club guys, okay? This is Jairus and the people he runs with, okay? But this is a father who has a need. What's his need? My daughter is at the point of death, all righty? So what does he do? He goes to Jesus. I don't care what y'all think. I don't care. You know, none of you can help me. He can help me, so I'm going to go to him, all righty? So here we go. Verse 23. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she might be healed and she would live. So Jesus went with him. Now, most of us would say, you know, you have been a pain in you know what to me. I'm not sure if I'm really going with you, right? You have been not really nice. No. Jesus didn't even interrogate him, give him the lie detector test. He just says, Jesus went with him. Guys, that's his character. That's his nature, okay? And that's why you'll see miracles with those that don't even know Jesus, because he just goes, all righty, so let's see. Oh, okay, the next one. All right. Let me see. All right, I'm not going to read. I'm just going to tell you the story. Okay, so when Jairus finally pushes away, touches him, begs him, he falls on his face. You know what that is? It's honor. He honored Jesus. Now listen, he's one of those guys, but he has a need. Through all that, the door, he bent down and honored him, okay? So Jesus goes with him, praise God. And you know, I could just hear Jesus, I will go any place that someone values and honors me. And he does, okay? So honor. Second person we're going to talk about that got results is, in that same story, just jump down a little bit farther, it's the woman with the issue of blood. She's been sick for 12 years, spent all her money, poorer, 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 broke, sicker, sicker, sicker. Okay, y'all know that story? And it says that she heard about Jesus, and she goes pushing through that crowd. She's like, crazy lady coming through, okay? And touches the end of his robe, right? Y'all know that story? Touches the end of the robe, all right? Now, verse 28. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around and said, who touched me? Okay. So And she stops and she worships him. All right? And Jesus says, your faith in Jesus has healed her. Okay? She honored, she valued, she worshiped, and she was healed. Praise God. All right, next person. All right, we're continuing with Jairus. All righty? Okay, verse 35. This is back to Jairus. He was still... While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler's, Jairus' house, of the synagogue's house, and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? And as soon as Jesus heard those words that was spoken, he whips around at Jairus and says, do not be afraid. So what he says is, hey, listen, you came to me for something. You believed that I could do something. So don't fear. Keep believing. I am who I said I am. Right? Ready? So he goes to the house, and Jesus walks in, and they just start mocking him. And he's like, shut the door on them. Guys, you're going to grab hold of the word. You're going to honor the word, and you're going to have people say just lovely things to you. You're going to get reports that say everything else. And I'm going to tell you, shut the door and keep your face in the word of God. All right? All right? And you be nice about it, please. Be nice, all righty? Okay? So Jesus says, fine. He shuts the door. He prays for the little girl, and she's healed. All right? And it's so beautiful. At the end, it talks about them worshiping. Great excitement worshiping Jesus. Are you kidding me? I'd be worshiping Jesus. He healed my daughter. So listen, there was honor, there was value, and if Jesus will show up when you honor and value. All righty? Last one, Mark chapter 2. Yep, Mark chapter 2, there's this paralyzed guy. He's got four friends, and they throw him on. First they hear Jesus is in town someplace. They throw him on this makeshift cot, and they start dragging him through town till they find the place Jesus is at. All right, they find Jesus, and they get there, and the place is packed, and they can't get in. All righty? Now, do you know who was first in that place? It talks about the I Hate You Jesus Club. It says the Pharisees and Sadducees were in there, and while he's talking, and Jesus came in there, and he's talking and sharing the word to people, and they are just mocking him and criticizing him, and it was just pretty bad. So it's really interesting. The guys in the inside didn't value Jesus, but the guys on the outside did. And what did they do? They climbed up on the roof, dug a hole, and they lowered this guy. Everybody know that story, right? Okay. So guess what that is? Honor. Value, honor, value, just by those actions, okay? Okay. Now, question, did they lightly esteem Jesus? No, man, they honored him full blast. Climbed up, hauled this guy, dug apart, and laid the guy in here, okay? So how about this? Sunday morning, oh gosh, I overslept. We might be a little bit late. Next week. Sunday morning, how about this? You know, it's a little rainy today. Next week. You know what happens there? Not any of you guys. You don't value this, right? And we wonder, okay? Now, if these guys, can you imagine, these guys got to the house. Gosh, can't get in. You know, you've been paralyzed this long. You can just stay that way. All right. No, they weren't like that. They were good. They found Jesus. They valued, honored, knew his character, knew about healing, and they carried this guy up and dropped him, laid him gently down. Right? Okay. All righty. Where are we? Let me read the last part. Mark 2, verse 10. They lower him, and that man, they're honoring. Okay. And Jesus said, so I will prove that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through and stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this. Okay? You know, I just love Jesus. Okay? So what happened there? A lot of honor, a lot of value, a lot of understanding, right? All righty? So those are three people that honored the word, the seed, okay? And they got results, righty? So how about what causes the word to produce in our life? What causes the word to produce in the life? Well, it's certainly not tradition. It's a revelation. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, your nature is, and God, your nature is always good. I value that. I'm hungry for that. I'm going to camp out in that regardless, okay? So you got to value. So again, what's the question? Why isn't the word producing in my life? Does anybody have some areas in your life you're just not seeing? I have a certain thing I've been praying for 34 years about, okay? And the Lord started dealing with me. He says, you're not valuing. And I was like, so I had to go, I'm going back. I'm digging this thing up and I'm going to value and I'm going to, I am at the place. I am at the place where, listen, this is the word of God. I have the word and I'm chewing on it. I'm sucking on it. Okay. And then I'm going, I don't care what I don't see. I believe. Okay. Now don't act dumb. I've seen this. Praying for your eyes and you can't see and you throw your eyes in the glasses in the garbage. Jack did that. It can't mean it. I can't believe that. Okay, he didn't have enough revelation at that point, all right? I've seen people do that, ditch their medicine. No. Listen, God just, he loves when you honor his word and you take a step and you get a little light and you take another step and you get some more light, and you get some more light. He loves, okay? So don't ever criticize anybody. Don't put yourself down. Just get the word and get the light and start, more will be given to you. Amen? Okay, everybody, that was just groundbreaking for next week. So come back. Stand up. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that your word produces. You are God. You are faithful to your word, and it is good word. And Father, we are going to be, we just say by faith, we are good ground, and we are going to value and honor your word above everything else, Lord. And we will give you all those good reports and praise and glory and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I love you. Praise God. Have a wonderful day, week. Oh, so funny. I love you guys. Okay. Little music maestro. little quiet here.